Chapter number 5, the craving that never seems to go away. Have you ever had a craving that seemed to not go away until it was satisfied? I mean, for anything. A craving for something sweet, or a craving for a slice of pepperoni and sausage pizza. Most of our cravings are driven by the yearnings or longings for something edible. But I want you to consider that cravings are not that dogmatic. Cravings in the natural are common, but they're dangerous in the flesh. When you have a craving for something in your flesh, it's a craving that cannot be satisfied. It can be appeased, but eventually it will come back. Let me ask you, have you ever experienced dealing with a craving in your flesh and it influenced the decisions and choices that you made? Consider this, our lives shift to feed the appetite of the flesh. The only way to control the appetite of the flesh is to submit to the control of God's ability to work in your life. By submitting to God through the assistance of his ability, you can put a muzzle on the demands made by your flesh. The Apostle Paul says that when his flesh makes demands to feed his cravings, he has learned to beat his body and bring it under subjection, to cause his flesh to be controlled by the direction of his spirit man. Now let me ask you, who's giving the orders in your life? Is it your flesh or is it God? In order to keep the cravings from dictating your life, you have to understand where the appetite comes from. And then you also have to act quickly in shutting it down before things get out of hand. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. We find a conversation between Eve and Satan. Satan was not known by Eve to be a threat in this conversation. The Bible says the serpent was wiser than any of the beasts the Lord made. In Genesis chapter 3, it would be common to recognize the serpent as just another creature with a name given by Adam. But we learn in verse number 1, the scripture immediately gives the animal an identity to reference that it is not who you think it is. Let's take a look at it. Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more subtle, cunning, wiser, and clever than any animal of the field which the Lord God had made. He says to the woman, "Has God really said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" Yeah. You see, this snake is more than a snake. It represented someone. Now, am I saying every snake is a he? Not at all. But here we learn the snake was on a mission. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, we learn through the scriptures that this ancient serpent was the devil in a different form. We observed in our prior chapters that the enemy, Satan, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This moment was no different. His aim was to destroy God's creation by deceiving this woman to make a decision that would separate her from God, just like he would also do with you. The interesting observation about this exchange between Eve and Satan wasn't the temptation of the serpent, but the response of Eve after the seed was planted in her hearing. After responding to Satan, what she heard God said, Satan responds with a lie. After his lie, notice, Eve took a second look at the tree, but this time with a different view. Her first look at the tree was with the reminder of the Lord's command, but the second look was tainted by a seed planted in her flesh. Notice Genesis 3 and 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and a desire to make one wise, what did she do? She took of the tree and ate the fruit. Notice what the Bible says. Good for food was a reference made to feed a natural need. Pleasant to the eye was a reference to something that was not only edible, but it looked good to eat. You would agree that preparation is essential to the key of a desired meal. But the third element was fulfilling a desire to make one wise. Satan presents the lie that God was trying to keep them from knowing the truth. He sold them on an idea that eating this fruit would give them insight on life that would compare them to God himself. Eve buys into the lie and feeds the desire to go beyond God's command. And what did they get for it? While their eyes were opened, there was no God comparison. They were left to be evicted from their place in the garden. I mean, they lost everything. And they were left with the feelings of guilt and shame, all because of a desire they fed into. Now, I'm sure you've had a similar story where you contemplated within yourself what to do when faced with your forbidden fruit. You know in your spirit you shouldn't do what your flesh is telling you, but you find yourself justifying the action because you are driven to feed an appetite in you that is pleading with you to satisfy it. How many failed rerun episodes have we lived out because we didn't step up and tell our flesh to shut up? My friends, imagine what would have happened if Eve told the serpent to shut up. This probably would have never happened. I believe this is why Jesus in the wilderness knew what to do. After Satan attempted to tempt Jesus like he did Eve, Jesus took authority and put Satan in his place. Let me say to you again, the devil has no new tricks. It's actually pretty stupid to replay the same method of temptation. I mean, it's like, okay, I saw what you did with Eve, and then you tried to do the same with Jesus and failed? Yes, the enemy uses the same method. But here's the question. Has his method worked in your life? Has his replay of temptation succeeded in his attempt to allure you to sin? How is this possible? Probably because he was helping to feed a desire that was already birthed in your flesh. All he did was supply the wood while we ignite the flame. So here's another question. What is keeping that flame alive in you? We learn through the Bible that Jesus Christ is known as the great atonement for all sins. He was the living sacrifice that allotted you and myself life when our sins resulted in death. Death no longer has power over us because of what Jesus did on the cross. Romans chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. For the death that he died to sin one time. But the life that he lives to God. In the same way, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. But here is the focal point. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. My friends, I love that part. Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Do not allow the cravings of your flesh that produce sin to be the dictator in your mortal bodies, where you are driven to obey its lusts. Your flesh is driven by its own cravings, own yearnings and its own longings, and they come from the desire to satisfy an imaginary void. Sin has desires fulfilled by your flesh. It craves it, yearns it, and has a longing to satisfy its appetite. Come with me to Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh for its lusts. We find the word focus here is provision. Take no prudent care, or don't take careful attention to the flesh and its lust. Don't prepare for its future wants. Do not make it an object of desire to be gratified. My friends, don't be found guilty of laboring and working to feed the flesh and satisfying its appetite. It cannot be satisfied, nor can it be gratified. The flesh doesn't get full. No, it has no meter to indicate it can be full, nor can it be filled to capacity. If you're willing to feed the appetite, it's willing to keep its mouth open. The flesh will continue to submit its orders to you until you take responsibility to starve it. Yes, starve the flesh. Starving the flesh may require you to make some unnatural decisions. Maybe it's unnatural for you to fast, but fasting is a method of flesh starvation. Maybe it's unnatural for you to get rid of some music that caused you to be conflicted spiritually. Maybe it's unnatural for you to wait until you're married for sex. It may be unnatural for you to pray regularly and keep God involved in your everyday, every moment affairs. In order to make this a reality, the devil needs to know his place by you subjecting your flesh along with its lusts and employ your spirit man to be the supervisor over your everyday life. As the Lord helps you manage your daily thoughts, creating new habits and new patterns, your spirit man can effectively supervise your body, mind, and soul. My friends, I'm telling you, it's time to bring order back in your life. Tell your flesh this body is under new management from now on. Think about this. We have the Lord as the manager, and you are the supervisor giving orders. Don't you dare allow the flesh to manipulate you or force you to do what it wants. You tell the flesh who's in charge. If you're committed to taking your authority back and not feed the cravings of your flesh, I promise you, not only you can get your life back, but you can live in the victory the Lord has promised to those who are willing to follow Him wholeheartedly.